But ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This morning at the early service, we were graced with the sacrament of holy baptism for Carol Borchardt's great-grandson, Landon Anthony. And so that great grace was given. Next Sunday at this service, God willing, we'll have the baptism of Shima Gasatura. And so we look forward to that, rejoicing in these sons of families in the parish who are now becoming sons of God by the grace of holy baptism. So we see the grace given in the baptismal rite. It's very clear about what we understand as those benefits that are given through holy baptism. The child is delivered from the penalty of original sin. They're washed, they're cleansed. They're brought into the family of God through adoption. They become a co-heir with Christ, an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. God, the Holy Spirit, now indwells them. They become a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so the day of the baptism is a day of great rejoicing. And we see in the epistle of St. Paul, that section that we have in today's epistle from the 8th chapter of the epistle to the Romans, we see him begin to articulate the theological understanding of what is happening through our association now with God, through the Spirit, and by the ministry of Christ. He starts by saying, "Brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." So here is the declaration that we are no longer debtors to the flesh. And what we mean by that word flesh is a way of understanding our fallen human nature. So it's not speaking about our body, the physical frame. Is speaking about our fallen human nature, that in us which would pull us away from union with God. So even these little boys, they're infants, they still have within them the old man of sin that we understand would be pride, envy, greed, gluttony, lust, wrath, and sloth. Obviously, they're not wrestling with these in conscious ways, but old man is still within them, and we do pray in the baptismal rite. We ask that God would, that he would kill all sinful desires in them, and also we pray that they would manfully fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil, that they would have victory over those impulses in them that would draw them away from God. So here's where St. Paul is showing us the beautiful liberty that is given to those who are, by faith and by the sacraments, now followers of Christ and in whom the Spirit lives. They no longer are in bondage or debtors to the flesh. They don't owe anything to their sinful self. This is very helpful to us to know, because we don't have to obey the sinful tendencies that are in us. I don't have to obey my pride, my envy, my greed. I don't have to listen to that. I don't have to make that a dictator over my actions in this life. I don't owe greed anything. I don't owe it a thing. This may be a word of liberation to those who could be wrapped up in addictive behaviors where they feel a compulsion to act out their lust or their gluttony. And if you talk to somebody who's in the throes of addiction, they will feel like they have to do this thing, like they have to have that drink or that substance. They have to act out their lust. But we know that these things, we don't owe them anything. We are not slaves anymore to the dictates of our fallen human nature. And think about it this way. There's nobody who ever died because they couldn't get drunk again. I mean, some people are physiologically addicted to alcohol to the point where they get delirium tremens because of their addiction, and they need to be brought off chemically to a place of detoxification. Yeah, granted that, but they don't have to get drunk again. They are not obligated to do that. They don't owe anything to their gluttony or to their addiction. There are plenty of people who have taken their last drink, who have walked away from it. And simply denied and simply denied that it had any power over them by the grace of God that was given to them in that decision. Well, the same thing. Recently there was presently there was an epidemic of sexually transmitted diseases in the United States. And there's a new therapeutic use for doxycycline to be a preventative for those who have had the experience of fornication. Later, they can take a prophylactic dose of an antibiotic to make sure they don't get syphilis. And the presumption here is that they have to act upon their impulse. That's the presumption. But I'll tell you what, nobody ever died from being absent. It's not like water. Okay, we have to drink water. If we don't drink water, we're going to die. If we don't breathe, we're going to die. But if we don't have sexual relations, we can still live. It's not on that order, but the presumption would be, well, that these people have to do that, so there has to be some therapeutic use of the antibiotic, which puts the rest of the population at risk for losing an antibiotic that may develop resistance to certain diseases. So we need to think about this. In our own Christian warfare, we need to determine the things that are pushing me, pulling me, driving me, do I have to obey those? And St. Paul is saying, no, you don't have to obey those that are on the order of the fallen man. We have no debt to sin. We have no debt to it. We don't owe our greed anything. We don't have to obey it. So this is a great message to us. It means that we have been liberated. And it means also that this morning and next week, God willing, we are bringing others into that same liberty. We're bringing them into a place of freedom where they are now transcending that old bondage. Those ties have been broken. Now they are entering into the freedom of the service of God, where we find a spiritual reality that the closer we align ourselves with the will of God, the more free we become. That's the spiritual truth of interior freedom. The more I align myself with God's will, the more I am at liberty. It sets me free. So this is what St. Paul is showing to us, these deep realities of now our relationship with God through Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We now call God our Father through what Christ has done for us upon the cross. He has reconciled us to the Father. Now through our faith and baptism, brings a person into direct filial relationship with the Father. Not only are we happy about the benefits of baptism, right, all the gifts that are given, but most importantly, it puts a person in family relationship with God, who is now their Father. If you think about Christ's ministry, he shows the disciples a new order that he's bringing in the kingdom of God. And he shows them, hey, if you can be good fathers to your children and give them good gifts, so if they ask for an egg, you don't give them a serpent. You're not going to give them a snake if they ask for an egg. You can do that for your own children. How much more will your can your Heavenly Father give to you if you ask him? So Christ is already showing us to make petitions to God as our Father, as he will instruct in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're to make an address to God that he would provide our needs. How often do we do this? Every day. Give us this day our daily bread. And also we ask for that super essential bread of the bread of heaven, that gift that comes to us at the altar. We pray that God would give us these good things as we would petition a good and loving Father, the Father of lights from whom every good gift comes. We make our petitions. So we are in relationship to him now as he is our Father, and the Spirit is bringing us into that place where we live that out. Look at what Jesus says on the night, anticipates his great saving work, when he says to the disciples, no longer do I call you servants, I call you friends, because a servant doesn't know what his Lord is doing. He's already bringing them into a familiar relationship. And on the day of the resurrection, when he says to Mary Magdalene, "Go and show my brothers what you have seen and heard." A remarkable moment. Now we see that Jesus is accounting those who are his followers as his brothers. They're in the same family. Why? Because they now have God as their father. We come in by adoption. We are adopted in and are now in the family of God. So we now have the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." And this is given to us now through our faith and in the sacraments of the church. So we are now graced with that familial relationship with God. And in obedience to him, now we begin to live out our Christian life in the right way. God, who is leading us into all truth, who is bringing us to our ultimate destiny, which is the beatific vision, our eternal bliss. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So here is now our destiny to receive the gift of eternal life, the joys of heaven. And the promise that is given is that we would be co-heirs with Christ. We are on the same level as the Son of God now, an inheritor of the kingdom. Now, where is that kingdom? It is in heaven. And so Christ is promising to us the gift of heaven, which will accompany us even now in our earthly pilgrimage. But notice that there is no promise of an earthly prize. What are we promised here on earth? If so be that you suffer with him, that you may be glorified together. Jesus says to those who will follow him, "Pick up your cross and follow me." So we are promised suffering here. That's our earthly, that's what we have on earth. In the kingdom of heaven, we have the gift of God, who is with us, accompanying us in our sufferings, not abandoning us, but being with us in our sufferings. The Holy Spirit sanctifying us in our sufferings, and finally bringing us to the unmitigated joy of the beatific vision. So first the cross, then the crown. There is this, the glorification will come after we have suffered with Christ in this life. And so we pray for those who are baptized that they will, be strong in their Christian warfare, because what's coming their direction is going to include the cross. That's what it's like for all of us as followers of Christ. That's part of the understanding we have. For those who will follow Christ, they will have a cross. But in all these things, we see the grace of God moving in his perfect will. The Father's will that we come to salvation, carried out in the full ministry of Jesus Christ, who makes it possible for us to come into union with the Father. The graces of the Holy Spirit, where all the saving ministry of Christ is applied to us in the sacramental life of the church, and by the gift of faith that he gives. And the indwelling of the Spirit, where we are sanctified. So we'll give humble thanks today for this gift that is given to the one, Landon Anthony, who was baptized this morning. And pray for God's blessings for Shima Gastur, that he'll be brought to the waters of baptism next week on the Feast of the Transfiguration. I have a story I want to tell you that was told me by a parishioner, and he asked if I would share this story at a point. And so I'm doing it in that way. He died about 10 years ago, and he had a remarkable experience in his family life, which he wanted to share. And it went like this. He had divorced his first wife. They had 5 children together, and it put him in crosswise with his kids. And at a point in his children's life, he became estranged from them. He wasn't feeling respected by them, and he cut ties. So there were no more phone calls. Eventually there were no more calls or no more cards, and just kind of a silence for a couple of years. And one day his oldest son reached out to him, and he saw the call come through in the caller ID, and he was like, "Nope, not gonna answer that." He had been offended by his children, didn't want to hear from them. So he didn't take the call. The next day a call came again, same on the caller ID. It was the oldest son reaching out to him. No. He refused that time and again a third time. He wouldn't take the call. And then he got news that his oldest son who'd been calling him maybe a week later died of a sudden heart attack. Now when you're 70 years old, you're not expecting your oldest son, who's only 47, to die of a heart attack. It came as quite a blow. It brought him right to his knees. And in humility, he went to the funeral and did his best to make amends with his other children. And after the funeral, he was talking to his next oldest son, and he said, "Look, I'm learning the hard way. I'm learning the hard way that that this kind of pride cuts you off from people who you should love. And I'll tell you right now, that kind of pride can go to hell." It was after the funeral and his conversations with family that he went down to a lake. It was in Texas, and the sun was setting, and he looked out from a dock over the water, and he could see the setting sun, the light coming off the water. And God does not despise a broken and a contrite heart. As the sun was setting and the light coming off the water, he felt himself come into a stillness that he hadn't known before. And in that moment, he had a mystical experience of communion with God and a deep sense of restoration with his son, the one who was departed. And he came home in peace. Let us strive to live out the reality of God's love for us, his indwelling spirit in us, that all that Christ has done for us may be manifest in our lives, and that we would receive the love of God so generously given, pour it back to him and to others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.